Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for what He's doing in these days. I love the way He's mightily moving by His Spirit. Like we said in the last broadcast, He thinks of all things. He considers everything. And whatever He gives us to do, it's well considered. If we can trust Him, if we can take Him at His word, we can learn more than we could in any other way. He thinks perfectly. And I learned to appreciate what He gives me to do. And there were times I'd wonder about it or argue at it. You know, I'd just say, well, why are you second-guessing God? I mean, but I learned to trust His guidance. His guidance has always been perfect and pure, love-based, and biblical. Now, when God gives us something to do, it's going to be biblical. It's going to be what He originally intended. And we also have to remember that He designed us for certain purposes. In the course of our life, there are things that we should fulfill here. There are things that we're capable of fulfilling if we're willing. And sometimes there are things that that we will get done. But the major things, the more important things, we have to be prepared for it. And the only one who can prepare us to do something is Him. And everything in God's house works together. See, the kingdom of God is headed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us our orders. He guides us. The Word of God gives us the main part of what we're here to do. As a Christian man or woman, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into how we can do it. And it's not like a generic format that we follow. We go in God's presence and learn from Him, and then He'll give us our part. He'll give us assignments that works together with the work of the Holy Spirit. However many Christians there are, as they learn to follow Him, we all participate in one work. The work of the Holy Spirit is one work, but many people play a part. And I like to call them operatives, just like in the military. Everybody that's a part, that they do a part of one work until the mission is complete. So last broadcast, we were talking about some things that I run into as a minister. And I ran into envy and strife and jealousy along the way. And we compared it to Joseph and his brothers. Now, through petty jealousies and envies and strifes, members of the body of Christ have gotten into division, competition, just like Jacob's family. He had 11 sons at that time, before Benjamin was born, Benjamin being the 12th and the youngest. But the 10 brothers envied Joseph, and they wanted to kill him because he was the youngest and he was his father's favorite child. And his older brothers were jealous of him, very jealous of him. They got to a low point where they could not say anything good about him, and they even plotted to kill him. And last week we didn't go to the scriptures and read it all the way out because of time. But Reuben said, let's not kill him, but let's throw him in this pit. And while they were gone, Reuben was intended to go back and rescue him and take him back to his father. But they got there before he could get back to him and sold him to the Ishmaelites, which sold him to the Egyptians. So he ended up in Egypt. Now, envy and strife exist. I don't even like talking about it. But I know that this heart-to-heart audience is a mature audience. And at the Lord's instruction, this is what he gave me for this broadcast. Or webcast. But envy and strife is out there. And people, you know, even mature people can be tempted with it. But when Satan brings a temptation to your door, you can rebuke it, because it's there to harm, not to be a blessing. It's there to scatter the body and not to unify it. The work of God, it guides people in the love of God, which works to unify those who are willing. And the Lord has a systematic way of doing everything. If he paid a high price to save us with his blood, that means we also share a responsibility to each other's welfare. We need to when people do us wrong, we don't have to retaliate and do them wrong and tear them down, but work through our love and patience, work to build them up. And the world never trained us to do that. So a lot of Christians are not going to do that. They're just not. But the Holy Spirit can train you how to handle people when they're weak, when they're difficult, when they need you the most. If people are doing you wrong, that's when they need you the most. And that's when you need to dig deep and ask God, how can you undo the works of Satan? Now, you already have the authority to just stop Satan at his tracks. And I do this all the time. When I see that people are working against me, I say, Satan, stop it. I don't argue with them. They're just people, usually deceived by Satan. But I can turn off Satan's works at my will. I can make Satan stop lying to them against me and using them against me. And their will may be, you know, set the way it was. And I ask the Lord, how do I operate in wisdom so that I can do what's appropriate and be a blessing to them, though they're doing me wrong, yet protect myself against their will to do me wrong. And then, Lord, he'll give me my format to do, and I'll do it or say it or whatever I have to do until I win my brother, or at least protect myself from their works. But we remove Satan at our will. We have full authority over Satan. Satan has to stop when we say so. If you listen to the news and you hear about terrorists that capture somebody, you can tell Satan he can't use the spirit of death against them. You can stop the work and they will not get killed. I've done it. You can too. I remember years ago a storm was headed to Washington, D.C. It was coming in from the Atlantic. And Mr. Austin was watching it on the Weather Channel on the news. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you can stop this storm. And I knew we had authority on the earth, but I didn't know we could stop storms at that time. And he rebuked it and it didn't hit. And he told me about it. So the next time a storm came, I rebuked it. And I said, man, nobody would believe this. And every time, if I knew about a storm, I'd rebuke it. And I've had success with it. Now, remember, it's by your faith. If you have the faith to do it, you can do it too. Because God gave us authority over the earth. Remember, when Jesus was asleep on the boat, and they woke him up saying, Master, don't you care that we die? he rebuked them, and then he's told the winds to peace be still, to be at peace and be still. And Jesus acted like he wanted them to do that and not wake him up. See, the training of the Lord, you have to watch him. If you're watching him, you learn things that you can't learn any other way. He didn't act like he was the only one that could do that. And then sometimes people would believe him for things he said, be it according to your faith. Let it be done according to your faith. So if we have faith in God's promise and we speak it, we put a demand on the earth will obey us. The weather will obey us. We have full authority over all of Satan's kingdom. And we can stop his works at our will. But if you don't learn, if you don't learn these things, you won't know them, and he'll use his witchcraft against you. You know, Satan is in rebellion. He's just a witch. He'll use his tactics against you. And if you don't take authority over it, it'll kill you. Or you can stop him. You can learn to fight, or you can lose. And that sounds kind of harsh, but it's true. God is not going to come and fight your battle, you being a mature Christian. Now, when people first get saved, God kind of watch out for them, just like a parent would a toddler. But eventually, he expects us to catch on and obey his word, just like Jesus expected them to rebuke the storms. And you never read about Peter being in a storm after those days, or any of the apostles that walked with him. And he works with us where we are. Paul was in a storm, but Paul warned him not to go. He may not have known that he had authority over that storm. But what I'm saying is, when faith begins where the will of God is known. So it's up to us to learn what's ours and walk in it, or we'll suffer loss if we don't. And we have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. He can help us avoid Satan's. The Lord had warned me about what Satan was doing, and I just rebuked it, and it couldn't happen. It could not happen after I rebuked it. And so it is with you and your faith. If you believe God's word and you tell Satan to stop, he's got to stop. Now, our authority is not, we don't control the will of people. People have to do that themselves. But if a person has intent to harm you, you can take Satan out of the equation. You can tell Satan he can't use his puppet. And you can believe God for your protection. There are angels that surround us to protect our lives. We can't tell people what to do, but we can give them God's word, and they'll do it if they choose to. So it is with our Christian brothers and sisters. Now, there are organizations that are in deep disagreement with each other, and they have different views of God's word and different opinions. And the Lord sent me out to minister to pastors years ago, and I had to go to different types of churches. I said, well, Lord, what about the denominational divisions and the differences in the denominations? He said, their darkness cannot instruct your light. If you walk in God's light, and if you operate biblically, then the light of operating biblically will expose the darkness of not operating biblically. In other words, more light will expose the darkness for what it is. And it's up to the people at that point to either make corrections or rebel against the light. So when you bring more light to a room, you expose everything for what it is. And it's up to the people to meet the challenge and repent and make corrections, or they'll live in rebellion. after that, after they know better. And remember, it takes time for people to adjust to the light. God is so merciful and gracious towards us. You know, there were times that he told me things that I may have believed my way for so long, but when he showed me a better way, it took time for it to sink in. But I did eventually receive the word of God. So I learned to be just as patient with others as God was with me. When he showed me something that I needed to change or a better way of doing things, I was still in the habit of doing it my way. And the habit system can be a challenge to correct. And so nowadays, when I know I have a habit to do things a certain way, I ask for help. And I study scriptures that can help me make adjustments. Now, people grow. Give people room to grow. The enemy desires us to look at the offense. They offended me. They had no right to do that. Why did they do that? He wants you to focus on the offense and how they did you wrong and how it hurt you and how it was a stumbling block and how it took a long time to heal from. He wants you to focus on the negative. It's inevitable that people are going to do that. Jesus said offenses will come. In other words, he's saying they're coming. But you have to choose in your heart to handle things biblically. To do it God's, and it's worth it. Now, angels can protect you and get you out of traps, just like Joseph. His brother selling him to the Ishmaelites actually turned out to be a blessing. Now, they did it in their immature jealousy, and it hurt a lot of people. Though it worked out to be a blessing, it hurt a lot of people for years. So, almost 20 years, it hurt people. It hurt Jacob, the father, and his mother, Joseph's mother, and Leah. the other son's mother, Bilha, all the different wives of Jacob. It hurt everybody, because when a member of family is not there anymore, though they were so filled with rage and jealousy, they didn't consider how it was going to work out. But the day they had the money from the Ishmaelites and they went home, they were probably happy at first. And then when they saw how they lied to their father and said that something killed him, and they found his coat with blood on it. You know, they killed a goat and put the blood on there and fooled Jacob. When they saw the sorrow in Jacob's eyes, they started to feel bad about what they did. And the anguish in his mother's eyes. You know, Rachel's crying. And they saw how it hurt her. Now they start looking at each other and feeling bad. And then everybody was sad. The servants, you know, they probably used to play with Jacob, missed him. They saw how that hurt. And then it began to dawn on them, they should not have done this. And they knew the truth, and they hid it. They kept it hid for years. And then when stories would be told about Abraham and Isaac and how God moved in their lives. And then they thought about how they betrayed their grandchild, Joseph. And it hurt some more. Eventually they matured and they grew and they regretted their sin. Now eventually, over time, people are going to learn that they did you wrong. They'll see things different. And as they grow, they'll wish that they didn't take the position they did. But the enemy wants you to focus on how you were hurt. But people, it's inevitable that just like people will offend you, they can repent and change and grow. And when that happens, you know, they repent. They, you know, they wish they didn't do that. And the Lord will show you how to help people heal. So when people do me wrong, and I know it, I never make a big deal out of it, but I ask God for guidance how I can restore my brother. Because if you're going to win in life and you're going to overcome the enemy and all the challenges of ministry, just like a car with a V8, you need to be hitting on all cylinders. You don't need things in the back of your mind weighing you down. One scripture said, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset you. Now, some weights are not sin. Some weights are sin. Some things need to be made right. And when you mature, it's important to go make things right, whether you are the offender or the offended. Live a way that heals, because it's worth it. And when you gain your brother, you didn't just gain a brother, you gained a fellow king, a fellow soldier that's going to help you complete the one work of God. See, in the beginning of the beginning heart-to-heart broadcast, we studied Zechariah, how this work is not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. So I don't have room to tear down another fellow soldier who happens to be a king, who happens to be a priest. And the Lord, only that kind of wisdom, that the wisdom that heals and blesses, it comes from the Lord. It's not from around here. It's not from the world system. And we can learn it because it comes from the Word of God. The Word of God interprets itself. It's His will. It's His word. It's His wisdom. It's His way of doing things. And it blesses all mankind. And it helps us all to do and perform the one work that will help God harvest the field. There are many people out there that would get saved immediately if the church was on one accord, operating on all cylinders. But Satan has planted division among the church, tares among the wheat. And tares breed interference. Tares become preachers. They become Bible college professors. They work discord wherever they go, because they work for Satan. Now, tares are different from deceived Christians. They didn't believe on Jesus for salvation. They just have the position of a person who has believed on Jesus Christ. But true believers, they have the Holy Spirit within. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within. And those that were willing have the Holy Spirit upon. After Jesus died for us, He breathed on His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." That's the well of water in you. And then, you know, when the woman at the well, Jesus talked about a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. When He breathed on His disciples after He had died for them, He appeared to them, He said, "Believe, receive the Holy Spirit." And they did. They had the Holy Spirit within. That never happened before. That's why the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest prophet, John the Baptist. He didn't have the Holy Spirit within. And then He turned around in Acts chapter 1 and talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Power will come. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And now you have the Holy Spirit upon you. If you believed on Jesus, and then if you believe, if you receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit upon you. That's the rivers of living water that he talked about in, I think it was St. John chapter 7 or either chapter 8. He talked about rivers of living water. So we have the Holy Spirit within and upon if we're true believers. Now, tares, they're not Christians. They may say they are, but tares are different. That's a different animal. And their influence remains deadly. They're corrupt. They wouldn't believe on Jesus, and they work sin. They work mischief. And it's hard to distinguish. Even the angels can't distinguish. But when they grow together, eventually they'll show their fangs, claws. And tares are sinners, and they're going to sin. But believers are different. They're in the kingdom of God. And the Lord, only the Lord can show you the difference. And tares is nothing new. Demas was a tare. John said that they left us to prove that they were never with us. Not in their heart. They were not. Judas. There are people that will come around and they'll speak the same language. They do the same things. But a tare is a tare. Is a tare. That's the difference. They're not Christians. We marry tares. Tares can be our friends, our family, anybody can be a tare. The thing that distinguishes a tare from the wheat is the way that they love God. True Christians love God. And if you love God, you simultaneously love man. You can't love God and hate man. You can't hate man and love God. Now, these are facts that we learn from John in 1 John. All the scriptures go together. We can't control what others do, but we can control what we speak and what we do. And the Lord will give us the wisdom to be appropriate according to what we're dealing with, whether it be a tare or a Christian. And one scripture says, be kind to all men. Because God wants to save everybody. Everybody he can possibly save, he really wants to save them. God loves tares, just like he loves his own. They just don't love God. And if they don't get saved, they're going to die that way. They love the world. Tares love the world. What is the world? It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When people's allegiance is to that system, they're going to behave according to that system. And they will vote against God to operate in that system because that's what they love the most. But those that love God, they hear his voice. And they know his voice and they follow him. We are known that we by our love for each other. We are distinguishable to God. God knows. He knows what's his and he knows what's not. And that when the rapture comes, I believe many people are going to be surprised unless God do something to let people know ahead of time. A lot of people that people consider to be Christians, they're not. Some that don't seem to be Christians are. So the Lord has to make the distinction. With that being said, love everybody. And stay in God's presence so that you can do what's in his heart. Pray that you do what's in his heart. Confess that you do and love what's in his heart more than what's in your own. Because that's the only way we're going to pull this off, by obedience. The anointing thrives in obedience. And remember, sincerity attracts sincerity. Those that speak the language of God, those that love God, and they speak the revelative word, the revelation type words of God. When God gives them insight and revelation, they speak it. It attracts people who love God. Sincerity attracts sincerity. And simultaneously, words of the world attract the world. The deception of Satan attracts the world. The lying words of Satan attracts the world. The polished words of Satan attracts the world. And the polished words of Satan, they seem good, but they repulse those that